Narrations in this chapter. The first narration is the narration of Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. The second narration is the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. The third narration is the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah. The fourth one is by Jabir ibn Samurah radiallahu anhu. And 5, 6, and 8 is by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And the seventh narration is by Salama ibn Akwa radiallahu anhu. So first of all, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-jum'ah, he wants to give us what he means. A brief definition on this word and this term that is well known amongst us, well heard amongst us, al-jum'ah, not jum'ah, al-jum'ah, with the ta'rif mu'arra, bi alif wal-lam, al-jum'ah, bi dhammi al-jini wal-meen, al-jum'ah. Al-Jumu'ah min al-Jam' is from the gathering. This word Al-Jumu'ah is taken from another word, is derived from another word in Arabic that is Al-Jam' with the gathering. That's why you see people gather from all places on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. You don't see it in another. Allah musta'an, we don't see those kind of type of numbers of gathering in other salawat. Wallahu musta'an. سمي بذلك لأن الله جمع فيه من الأمور الكونية والشرعية ما لم يجمعه في غيره. شيخ العثيمين said الجمعة, he was given this name الجمعة, and the number is taken from الجمع, the gathering. He said because Allah has gathered in this day lot of things, lot of affairs as related to the creation and as related to the legislation that Allah did not gather in any other day other than Jumu'ah. And he gives some examples. The Shaykh said, فَفِيهِ كَمُلَ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَةِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In this day of Jumu'ah, Friday, the day of Jumu'ah, the creations of the heaven and the earth was completed on Friday, on Jumu'ah, I should say. وَخُلِقَ آدَمْ. Adam was created on Jumu'ah. وَفِيهِ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. And in the Jumu'ah day, the hour will be established. On Jumu'ah. فَيُبْعَثُ النَّاسِ. So therefore the people will be resurrected. وَفِيهِ صَلَاةُ الْجُمُعَةِ وَاجْتِمَاعُ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهَا. And in it as well, the Friday prayer, and how the people gather for that prayer, and how the people they gather together in that day of the Jumu'ah to perform the Jumu'ah prayer, Salatul Jumu'ah. And then inshaAllah ta'ala, we start by the first narration. We try today, if we can get like four narrations inshaAllah ta'ala tonight, so we can like split this eight narration into two parts. I mean, next Wednesday we finish it inshaAllah. The narrations are very light. They're not, they're small, they're short. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll see inshallah ta'ala. Al-Hadith al-Awwal, the first narration in this chapter of Al-Jumu'ah, but is the Hadith 130 after all, from the beginning. And by the way, we're exactly in the middle of the book. Right? Exactly. So we, alhamdulillah, the half of the book is already gone. Alhamdulillah. So the first narration عن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه أن رجالا تماروا في منبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أي عود هو. فقال سهل من طرفاء الغابة وقد رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قام عليه فكبر وكبر الناس وراءه وهو على المنبر ثم رفع فنزل وقهقر حتى سجد في أصل المنبر ثم عاد حتى فرغ من آخر الصلاة ومن آخر صلاته ثم أقبل على الناس فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس إني صنعت هذا لتهتموا بي ولتعلموا صلاتي. وفي لفظ صلى عليها ثم كبر عليها ثم ركع وهو عليها ثم نزل وقهقر. رواه البخاري رقم 875 باب الخطبة على المنبر. وقال أنس رضي الله عنه خطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر ومواضعه. ومسلم برقم 544 باب جواز الخطوة والخطوتين في الصلاة. So this first narration, the narration of Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi رضي الله عنه, who said the group of men, they argue, they have a debate as related to the minbar of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, from what عود, from what kind of type of wood was made of, what kind of type of wood was made of. So Sahl radiallahu anhu, when they asked him, he said, it is from a specific place in the forest. As Ibn Shaykh al-Faymin, when he explained the word, he said, this is a forest that is to the northwest to Medina. Northwest in Medina, there is a forest then. And he said to them, and I saw, after he told them from where the wood was taken, that they use it to make the minbar, like this one of stand, you know, to the minbar. He said, and then he said to them, and I saw the Prophet ﷺ stood up on it, on the minbar, and he made takbir for the salat, made takbir facing the Qibla, of course. And the people, they make takbir, they began the salat after him, while the Prophet ﷺ was standing where? On the minbar. Prophet ﷺ was standing on the minbar. Then, after the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, when he raised his head from ruku', so he performed the ruku' on a minbar, then he stepped back, his face still towards the Qibla. So he stepped backward, like that's what it is, backward, step up, he went down backward, meaning his back to the people, huh? That's what he means, al-qahfara in Arabic, to go backward. And then he made the prostration on the floor, on the ground, by the minbar. Then he went back on the minbar and did the same thing. Until when he finished the salah, he turned and faced the people and said to them, O people, I did what you saw me doing so that you can follow me. So that you can follow us. Because the minbar is raised up high. So they can see. The people can see. So that you can follow me. And so that you can learn how to pray. You learn night prayer. You learn لِتَعَلَّمُ صَلَاةً. How you learn night prayer. The way I pray. In another narration, he said, then the Prophet ﷺ, he performed the prayer on the minbar. And he made the takbir while he was on the minbar, and made the ruku' while he was on the minbar. And then, after the ruku', when he wants to make the sujood, he stepped down backward, still facing the Qibla, and then made the sujood. The sujood, he did it on the ground. Shaykh al-Athaymin, he's going to explain why the Prophet ﷺ didn't make the sujood. He's going to come, inshallah, an explanation. And this hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim. As-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the first step, Shaykh al-Athaymin, when he explains, first of all, he brings the brief biography on the narrator of this hadith, which is, who is the narrator? Sahl ibn Sa'd ibn Malik al-Ansari. He is Sahl ibn Sa'd ibn Malik al-Ansari and Khazraj, from the Ansar. He's not from the Muhajirin. So he's from the Ansar, precisely from the tribe called Al-Khazraj. There is Aus, one of the main tribes, Al-Aus and Al-Khazraj. So he is from Al-Khazraj, radiallahu anhu. Min Mashahir al-Sahaba. He's one of the most famous among the companions. Very famous companion. He's a famous companion. كان اسمه حزما فسماه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سهلا. His name was Hazm, like sadness. grieve in the light of this. That's what was his name in Jahiliyyah. The Prophet ﷺ changed his name to Sahl. Sahl, which is easy. So his name was Hazan, and the Prophet ﷺ said, no, Muslim now, your name is Sahl. Allahu Akbar. وَكَانَ لَهُ حِينَ تُوُفِّيَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم 15 years. And when the Prophet ﷺ died, he was only 15. Okay? He was only 15 when the Prophet ﷺ died. He narrated all the narrations. Unlike our 15 boys here. And even say, we leave that alone. May Allah have mercy on all of us. Ameen. But just ponder on this. When the Prophet ﷺ died, he was only 15 years old. Allahu Akbar. Now we're learning our deen from a narration of a boy who was 15 years old when the Prophet ﷺ died. وَعَمَّرَ حَتَّى تُوُفِّيَ سَنَةَ 91 وَهُوَ آخِرَ مَنْ مَتَ فِي الْمَدِينَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ عَلَى قَوْلِ بَعْدِ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ. So he died, actually he, when the Prophet ﷺ died, he was only 15, but he lived a long time. He lived a long time, and he died in the year 91 of the Hijrah. 91 of the Hijrah, and they said that, according to the statement of some of the muhaddithin, some of the narrators of the hadith and the ulama of hadith, he is the last companion who died in Medina. So if he died in the year 91, this is the question, and he was 15 when the Prophet ﷺ died, how old was he when he died? Okay. 96 or 95, one of them. That's correct?
The Prophet ﷺ died 10 years after the
Hijrah. Okay. Uh-huh.
But he died in 90, so you take away 96.
Okay, tayyib, alhamdulillah. موضوع الحديث, the second point, موضوع الحديث, the topic of this narration, بيان حكم اتخاذ المنبر لخطبة الجمعة. He deals with the حكم, the ruling pertaining to having a minbar for صلاة الجمعة, for the صلاة, for the khutbah on the day of الجمعة, the khutbah on يوم الجمعة. In the general explanation, Sheikh Al-Taymin said, يخبر سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه أن رجالا تماروا في منبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد جاءوا يسألونه. He said in this narration, Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he's informing us that a group of men, they kind of like, they didn't agree as related to from what material or from what wood really the minbar of the Prophet ﷺ was made. And they came to ask him, since he's a companion, so this is a group of men. So since he is one of the companions, they came to him. And they asked him. فَأَخْبَرَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ مِنْ أُسْنِ الْغَابَةِ. And then he informed them that the minbar is made from a specific wood from the forest. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ لَهُمْ قِصَّةَ صَلَاةِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوَّلَ مَا وُضِعَ أَنَّهُ قَامَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي أَعْلَى دَرَجَاتِهِ الثَّلَاثِ وَكَبَّرَ النَّاسُ وَرَاءَهُ ثُمَّ رَكَعَ وَرَفَعَ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ ثم نزل على قفاه وسجد على الارض لعدم اتساع الدرجه للسجود ثم عاد بعد السجدتين في اليد. And then he didn't just like give them the type of food, but he gave them benefit. And he told them, by the way, I got a story for you as related to that the minbar. He said that because he said when the Prophet ﷺ, the first thing when the minbar was made for him, the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up on the highest step of the minbar, the three steps, and then he makes takbir for the salat. He began the salat on the minbar, on the highest step, the third one. And then the people, they make takbir after him. They enter into the salat. Then he said, after that, the Prophet ﷺ, of course, after the recitation of the Quran, he made the ruku', he bowed down. And then he raised up from the ruku' wa huwa alayhi. He said, why the Prophet ﷺ was on the minbar? Do we know this? Then he stepped down, step by step, backward, meaning his face still facing the Qibla, and then he prostrate on the ground. Remember I told you why? The Shaykh has said that because that third step, the highest step, was not enough for the Prophet ﷺ to make sujood on. It was little, it was short. So he was short. Huh? He was short. He was short, so that's why the Prophet ﷺ did not prostrate on it, and he came down because he didn't have enough room to prostrate on it. It's a statement of Shaykh al-Adhimin. And then after he finished he completed two prostrations, he ascended the minbar once again, and he did the same thing for the second rak'ah. And until he completed the salah. Until he completed his salah. قال ولما كان هذا الفعل غير معتاد منه بين للصحابة أنه صنعه لفائدتين هما الاهتمام به وتعلم فيه الصلاة. Shaykh said, since this action of the Prophet ﷺ was something not usually known, it's not something that the companion know about, I never seen the Prophet ﷺ pray on a high place like that. So he made it known to them the reason why he did that, right after the salah. Right after the salah, he explained to them that he did this for two benefits. The first one, so they can follow him, or should be followed, and to learn from him how he performed the prayer. فوائد الحديث, the benefits of this hadith, the Shaykh was seven benefits. Number one, مشروعية اتخاذ المنبر في المسجد ليخطب عليه, ليخطب عليه. That is legislated to have a minbar for khutbah on Yawm al-Jum'ah. And the Imam ascend the minbar on Yawm al-Jum'ah to deliver the sermon. Number two, جواز الصلاة فوق المنبر ويسجد عليه إن تمكن وإلا فعلى الأرض. The permissibility of performing the salat on the minbar. Shaykh al-Adhimi said, the permissibility of performing the salat on the minbar and prostrating on it as well, if he has room, otherwise it is short, you do it on the ground. Number three, جواز العمل اليسير في الصلاة للمصلحة. Also the third benefit, Shaykh al-Adhimi said, the permissibility of doing something, a few moves or the like, or a few things in the salat, if that will bring some benefit, if it will bring some benefit. And there is a benefit behind that. Number four, جواز علو الإمام على المأموم. The permissibility for the Imam to be in a higher position than the people are praying behind him. The permissibility that the Imam may be on a higher place is permissible for the Imam to be in a higher level than the people, the ma'moon who pray behind him. Number five. حرص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على تعليم أمته وتبليغها الشرع. This narration shows how diligent indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was into his ummah and conveying to them the religion and conveying to them the legislation. Number six, عناية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالصلاة ومعرفة الأمة لها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave importance to the prayer, to the salat, and he made sure that the ummah, that the people will know it correctly, will have correct knowledge of it. Number seven, إباحة السبب في مرمى خلاف العادة ليزول الإشكال. And also in the last benefit of narration, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, right after what he did in the salat, right after he explained to them what he just did, because this is something that was not used to. They are not used to. They sense the companions then, they are not used to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we can say in our language here, they in living in limbo. That's right. In living in limbo, and to wonder, we said the Shaykh, لِيَزُوَ الْإِشْكَالِ, so that the people don't wonder about it and have doubt what's going on. They start talking, right after the Salah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explain to them the reason why. That's the end of the narration. Al-Hadith al-Tan, the second narration, very small, alhamdulillah. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من جاء منكم الجمعة فليغتسل رواه البخاري رقم 837 باب فضل الغسل يوم الجمعة وهل على الصبي شهود يوم الجمعة أو على النساء ومسلم في كتاب الجمعة رقم 844 and the authority of عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that one of you should take a ghusl, a bath, on Yawm al-Jum'ah. To come to Yawm al-Jum'ah, prior to that, you should take a ghusl. Al-Rawi, the narrator is Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah. His biography has already preceded, one of the main companions, one of the seven companions who narrated the most of hadith. And he was one of the youth of the companions as well. A companion, a son of a companion. موضوع الحديث, the topic of this hadith, بيان حكم الاغتسال لصلاة الجمعة. This hadith shows the hukm and the ruling on making a ghusl, taking a bath on the day of Jum'ah, on Friday. الشرح الإجمالي, the general explanation of this hadith, قال الشيخ محمد بن سعد العثيمين رحمه الله يخبر عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر من أراد المجيء إلى صلاة الجمعة أن يغتسل ليطهر جميع بدنه من الأوساخ تعبدا لله عز وجل وابتقاء لروائح الأوساخ في هذا المجمع الكبير. لذلك هنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما is informing us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he gave command, he commanded the one who is coming for Jum'ah, the person who is coming for Jum'ah, the Prophet commanded him to take a ghusl, to perform a ghusl, or to take a bath, so that he cleans and purifies his entire body from filth and from dirt and the like, from dirt and sediment. But this is not unlike any bath, this is ibadah. This is a ibadah. He's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike any bad, just to refresh oneself with the light. But this is with the intention to do it. For Yawm al-Jum'ah, so you become a ibadah, you'll be rewarded for. And also, so it is a ibadah, because the Prophet was commanded with, and also to remove all dirt or all bad smell for the life of this. Especially that a person is going to come into a big gathering. Can you imagine if none of the people take a shower in Yawm al-Jum'ah and you got 300 people, all of them? So that's another reason to eliminate the bad odors and smells, since a person is going to come into a big gathering. And the Shaykh didn't bring no benefits for this narration. Okay? So therefore we go to the hadith al-thalith, the third narration inshaAllah ta'ala. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال جاء رجل والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب الناس يوم الجمعة فقال يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للرجل صليت يا فلان يعني أصليت يا فلان قال لا قال الرجل لا قال قم فاركع وفي لفظ فصل ركعتين رواه البخاري برقم 888 باب إذا رأى الإمام رجلا جاء وهو يخطب أمره أن يصلي ركعتين ومسلم برقم 875 باب التحية والإمام يخطب. On the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما he said that a man came while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was delivering the sermon of Jumu'ah, the Jumu'ah Friday sermon. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to the man, Did you perform the salah? And here, inshallah, they will explain the word in some meaning, Tahiyyat al-Masjid. So the man came and said, the Prophet said to him, did you perform the Tahiyyat al-Masjid? And pay attention to this question. The Prophet did not say to him, stand up and make the prayer to Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Prophet asked him if he did perform Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Shaykh Al-Athaymi will explain why. There is a benefit in his with it too. So the man said, no. The Prophet said, stand up there. Remember, the Prophet, he interrupted his khutbah. He was given the khutbah in Yawm al-Jum'ah. Then the Prophet said to him, stand up and perform this two rak'ah for Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Now he said, the Prophet said to him, this narration here, translate to you the same wording. The Prophet said, stand up and pray. And in another narration, he said, in another wording, he said, pray two units. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in the chapter, when the Imam see a man, the Imam is given the khutbah on Yawm al-Jum'ah, and if he see a person that he did not perform Tahiyyat al-Masjid, he gave him the command. He commanded him to perform Tahiyyat al-Masjid. And Imam Muslim, he brought this hadith in his Sahih, in a chapter, the Tahiyyat al-Masjid, perform Tahiyyat al-Masjid while the Imam is delivering his sermon. The narrator of this hadith is Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. His narration, his biography has preceded. But he is a companion, a son of a companion, son of a companion. He was a companion, his father and his grandfather. And once again, he is one of the seven companions who narrated the most hadith. Who narrated the most hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah. So we learn so far who? Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah and Jabir ibn Abdullah. And there is Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Aisha and Abu Huraira. And Anas. So those are seven.
This audio file has been recorded and distributed by salafitapes.com.
And he is the one that when his father died in one of the expeditions, and Jabir ibn Abdullah was very young and he married an older woman. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, when you marry a virgin, so you can play with her and play with you. But he told the Prophet ﷺ the reason why he chose an older woman. He said, because my father died and left me with a lot of sisters. So I may have to marry an older woman so she can take care of my sisters. Allahu Akbar. Mawdu al-Hadith, the topic of this hadith, Bayan al-Hukmi Kalam al-Khatib, al-Khatib, the one who delivered the khutbah. His name Khatib. Al-Khatib. Okay? Bayan al-Hukmi Kalam al-Khatib Yawm al-Jum'ah wa Salat al-Rakatain lidakhili al-Masjid hina al-Khutbah. So this hadith, this narration deals with the ruling first. The ruling on the Kalam, the speech of the Khatib. Meaning, in another way, can the khatib, the one who is delivering the sermon, can he speak while he's giving the khutbah? Can he speak to the people while he's giving the khutbah on Yawm al-Jum'ah? And also this narration shows the ruling on the Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Tahiyyat al-Masjid for the one who comes to the masjid while the imam giving the khutbah. While the imam is giving the khutbah. That because certain people, they say, that yes, you make Tahiyyat al-Masjid as long as the Imam is not delivering the khutbah. If the Imam delivers, you just go and sit because listening to the khutbah takes precedence over Tahiyyat al-Masjid and the like. See what Shaykh Al-Athimi is going to say, inshallah. So in the explanation of this narration, Shaykh Al-Athimi said, يخبر جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخطب الناس يوم الجمعة ولم تكن خطبته تشغلهم عن مراقبتهم فيما يهمهم من الأمور. الله أكبر. Listen to this. First of all, the Shaykh said, in this narration, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma is informing us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while delivering the sermon on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, while delivering the sermon, that sermon is not to keep him busy from paying attention to what the people are doing on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. In another way, while the Prophet ﷺ was giving the khutbah, he was making sure that the people are not doing certain things that are not right. So he used to have this muraqabah, and he used to watch, make sure that the people are doing the right things. فَدَخَلَ سَلِيكَ بْنُ عُمَرَ أَوْ سُلَيْكَ بْنُ عُمَرَ بْنِ عَمْرَ الْغَطَفَانِ فَجَلَسَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ فَحَيْثَ الْمَسْجِدِ إما لأنه لا يعلم عن حكمها وإما لظنه أن استماع الخطبة أهم. Listen now. Now the Shaykh said, and he gave us the name of that man. His name Saliq or Sulaik. I'm not sure whether Saliq or Sulaik. Ibn Amr al-Ghatafani. Ibn Amr al-Ghatafani, he entered the masjid and he sat. Before he prayed tahiyat al-masjid, Shaykh al-Ajimini said, perhaps at that day, at that moment, he did not know the hukum and the ruling of those two units of prayer that a person should make before he sit. When he entered the masjid, and Shaykh al-Ajimini said, or perhaps he knows the hukum that he should pray to two units, but perhaps he thought that on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, while the Imam is delivering the sermon, listening to the khutbah take precedence over performing the two units. You with me? Ay. قال فأبصره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله هل صلى. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he saw him doing this, coming, sitting. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked him. He didn't tell him stand up and pray. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him if he prayed. And I told you what Shaykh al-Azhar is going to say. قال لأنه يحتمل أن يكون صلى في جهة من المسجد ولم يره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the man if he prayed في تحية المسجد. Shaykh al-Azhar said, perhaps the man, he performed تحية المسجد in another corner of the masjid and move on. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not see him make the تحية المسجد over there. See? One of us would say, stand up يا أخي make تحية المسجد. The brother, perhaps he made it over there. So this is the hikmah. We have to learn the adab from the man who actually Allah sent him to complete and perfect the manners. And the manners are good etiquette. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't just say to him, stand up and pray. He said to him, asallaita, did you perform the prayer? Because Shaykh al-Azhar said, because perhaps is ihtimal, it could happen that the man performed the tahiyat al-masjid somewhere else when the Prophet ﷺ couldn't see him and move up. طيب. فأخبره الرجل أنه لم يصلي. But the man, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, no, he did not pray. He did not perform these two units. فأمره. فأمره. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him a command. So, فأمره. He gave him a command that he should stand up at that moment and pray two units. فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقوم فيصلي ركعتين. وفي رواية أخرى لمسلم أنه أمره أن يتجوز بهما. So the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded him, he gave him a command to stand up while the Prophet ﷺ given a khutbah to perform the two units تحيات المسجد. In another narration by Muslim, in it, and the Prophet ﷺ, and he gave him another command that he should make him short. Should make him short, as the ulama they said, so he can listen to the khutbah. Fawaid al-hadith. The benefits of this hadith, six benefits the Shaykh brought, rahimahullah ta'ala. Number one, جواز تكلم الخطيب يوم الجمعة مع غيره للحاجة والمصلحة. That is permissible for the khatib, the one who is delivering the sermon, to interact or to speak with the people who are listening on Yawm al-Jum'ah while he's giving the khutbah, if there is a benefit and if there is a need for that. If there is a need and if there is a benefit. Now I remember a long time ago, I was in Pennsylvania in that masjid, and I for Salat al-Jum'ah, and amazingly, wow, there's a lot of things was going on before even the Khatib comes. They were playing radio, like Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. The radio, loud. He said to them, MashaAllah, that's praying. Akhi, praying. Kalamullah. Then they call one adhan. They all stand up, pray. I don't know how many they pray and wait for like 40 minutes. They stand, call another adhan. And then they stand up, all of them, and pray. We're waiting. Subhanallah. Like an hour and a half, then the imam comes between the first adhan. And then this imam coming. You know, he came. And then, surprisingly, he didn't start the khutbah. He said, Assalamu alaikum. Salam, they call the adhan. They make another adhan. And then he said, he stood up and said, before I began my khutbah, and he looked at somebody and said, is there any announcement you want to make? The man said, you have announcements. Okay, well, go ahead. And then the man said, yeah, we have to finish the bathrooms, and we have this and this. He's talking for like 15 minutes. I'm like, now why I remember this? If this is necessary, this is something that is really Allah. That's amazing. Alhamdulillah for the sunnah. Like another masjid. InshaAllah, they used to live in Pennsylvania, way in little somewhere. It's difficult. When I just came to America, my first khutbah of Jumu'ah, my first Jumu'ah, I went to this masjid, and then the person was given a khutbah, and subhanAllah, was given a khutbah, long khutbah, talking about politics, newspapers, sports. I didn't even understand much English then, but I know it was a long khutbah. And then finally we were like making dua. This man finished this khutbah, man, and prayed. We were like, I was thinking, man, can we leave? What are we going to do here? We were talking, me and the brother, man, what are you going to do? You brought me here, man. Then finally, man, every time the man is like, we think he's finished, then he start again. And then they go to the Iqama, and then he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In the name of Allah, the most beautiful. Reciting and Fatiha in English. I'm like, man. That's why we say, Alhamdulillah for the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah for knowledge. Very nice. طيب. So, Allah musta'an. So it is permissible, ya akhwan, for the khatib to speak to the people, but remember, not just loosely. Now, there is a need, lil haja, need, or maslaha, or there is a benefit, or there is a benefit. That's why I remember right now, we asked one of the people of Nazar, I believe Shaykh Ubayd, hafizahullah ta'ala al-Jabari. This is a question when I was translating in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, as related to on Yawm al-Jum'ah, and is it okay for the brothers who help with security in Yawm al-Jum'ah, to talk to the people and say to them, move up, ya akhwan, while the imam is giving the khutbah? Sheikh said, no. They may do that before the imam start giving the khutbah. When the imams are given the khutbah, everybody has to listen, including the security guards. And it is for the imam then, if he sees that he's crowded, it's up to him to talk to the people and tell them, move up or make some room for your brothers. So I just want to mention this, inshaAllah ta'ala. Now. Good one. Number two. مشروعية صلاة ركعتين لداخل المسجد حتى حال الخطبة الجمعة. That is legislated for the one. This is from the legislation for the one who comes to the masjid to perform two units. The one who comes to perform two units تحية المسجد, even if he comes late and the khutbah is being given, or actually in the course of the deliverance of the Jumu'ah khutbah. Number three. مشروعية تخفيفهما لمن دخل ولم يخطب يوم الجمعة ولا يزيد عليهما. And also from the legislation is that the person who come while the imam is already given the khutbah to make those two units light, light, very light, and he doesn't pray more than that. He prayed them and sit. Number four, أهمية تحية المسجد, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قطع خطبته وأمر بها بهما مع انشغال المصلي بهما عن سماع الخطبة. Now there is the point that I mentioned. Remember I told you some people, they said, now, yes, you make the hadith masjid, but as long as the imam not given the khutbah, the imam is already started, you gotta sit and listen. Shaykh Al-Ajami said, this fourth benefit in this narration, he said, the importance of tahiyyat al-masjid. This narration shows the importance of those two units called tahiyyat al-masjid. Says the Prophet ﷺ interrupted what? His khutbah. He interrupted his khutbah and he gave a command to a person, even though that person is going to be busy now. At that moment of performing, he's going to be busy from listening to the khutbah at that moment. طيب. Number five, أن أقل من ركعتين لا يكفي تحية المسجد. That the minimum of tahiyyat al-masjid is two rak'at. Less than two rak'at is not tahiyyat al-masjid. Number six, مشروعية الاستفسار عن الأمر قبل إنكاره. Allahu Akbar. This is something that we need to learn and keep and remember this point here, that it is legislated for us to ask first before we refute people. We have to ask before you say, Yaakh, you didn't do this. Yaakh, why you didn't do it? Yeah, that's ask first. How many one of us, if someone just come now and sit down, how many of us say, yeah, stand up and make tahiyyat al-masjid? How many of us would really, really say, ya akhi, asallaita? Did you pray? Because perhaps he prayed over there. Because our masjid is small, it's not, but some masjid are big. And if perhaps someone prayed one corner, he didn't see it, and then he moved, alhamdulillah, over here to sit, and then one of us gonna jump on him and say, Ya akhi, get up, a'udhu billah, astaghfir Allah, fear Allah, get up and pray two rak'at, a'udhu billah, where you come from? Where you come from? Not him, you, where you bring this from? Who are you following in this? Who's your example? Obviously, it's not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because here is the Prophet, he asked the man, right? Okay. So this is the benefit that we benefit from this class, is barakallahu alayhi. طيب, it's up to you. We continue the fourth one, so it'll be even 4-4. Huh? طيب. The fourth one, عن جابر. Because it's 8, you remember? If we don't have 3, next week is gonna be 5. It's up to you if it's too. Huh? طيب. عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب خطبتين وهو قائم يفصل بينهما بجلوس. هذا الحديث. On the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhuma, or anhu, Jabir radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet ﷺ used to deliver two sermons on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Two sermons, two khutbahs, like in English, the English version, two khutbahs, two sermons. While he's standing, and he will divide or between them with interrupt between the first and the second one with the sitting. He will sit after the first one before he stands up for the second one. This hadith is from Imam al-Bukhari, hadith number 886. باب القاعدة بين الخطبتين والجمعة, chapter of the sitting between the two sermons on يوم الجمعة. الراوي جابر بن سمرة. Who is the راوي? He's جابر بن عبد الله. جابر بن سمرة ابن جنادة ابن جندب العامر السوائي, خاله سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنهما. His uncle is, you know how it? Huh? What is it? Oh, okay. And his uncle is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. The great companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is his uncle. رضي الله عنهما. روى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحاديث كثيرة. He narrated many سامورة المجندم أو أجاب ابن سامورة. He narrated many narrations from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال جالست النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من 100 مرة. And he said, himself said, I sat with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم more than 100 times. More than 100 times. وصليت معه أكثر من 2000 مرة. He said, أي صلاح الله. He said, and I performed the prayer with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم more than 2000 times. He said, and I performed the prayer with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم more than 2000 times. نزل الكوفة وابتنى بهداد. He resided, he moved to Kufa, he resided, he built for himself a house, right? Let me see your copy, because here I think there is a word missing. It's the same thing, it's just Egyptian. He said, and he built a house, fiha, in there, Sanat 74, but perhaps the shaykh, there is something that is missing here, perhaps there is a matter, or tuwuffiya, perhaps there is a word that is missing in there that says, perhaps he died in a year, 74 of the Hijra. 74 of the Hijra. The topic of this hadith, bayanu adab al-khutbah yawm al-jum'ah, wa hay'at al-khatib, hina'idin. This hadith deals with how many khutbas and how many sermons. I shouldn't say how many khutbas. That's not correct. How many sermons on Yawm al-Jum'ah, and in what position the imam should be, standing, sitting, laying down while giving the khutbah. طيب. الشرح الإجمالي, the general explanation. شهر الرمي, he said, صلاة الجمعة مجمع كبير شامل لأهل البلد كلهم. He said, the Jum'ah prayer is a big gathering. The Jum'ah prayer is a big gathering that actually for the people in the area. If there is a Muslims in one area, that's where they gather, all of them together for Jum'ah. Unlike here, subhanAllah, I find people and every little 10 people praying this masjid, 15 over there, 100 in here, 40. But the Jum'ah actually is for the Muslims. Together, the Muslims in that area, and to pray. كلهم, he said, كلهم, أهل البلد كلهم, all of people, the Muslims of that area. فكان من الحكمة أن يكون فيها خطبة توجه الناس لما فيه الخير وتوعظهم بالتزام وتحذرهم من الشر وتعظهم بالوعد عنه. Sure, look at the benefit. Can you imagine if the people come and they listen to one khutbah? Huh? They be on the same page. They listen to one khutbah, and he said, so since this is the case that the Muslims in one area should gather, all of them together in one place for one khutbah, and so therefore it is from hikmah, from wisdom, that the khutbah was legislated on that day, so that he served as a guideline to the people, guide them to good, and admonish them in the same way, to stay away from all kind of types of evil, and incite them to stay away from. And this is a benefit. Unlike many messages, what do people be listening to? Politics. Politics. Power, this, that, the Democrats, Republicans, and power. All in other places is nothing but takfir, Hizbiyun, Takfiriyun, or the ruler of Saudi Arabia, Audhu Billah, he shakes the hands of this guy and this woman. SubhanAllah. And talking about the ulama, huh? Instead of teaching the people their deen. See? Allahumma musta'an. وفي هذا الحديث يخبر جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنهما أنه كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبتان يخطبهما يوم الجمعة قائمة لأنه أشد في وعظه وأشمل لصوته يفصل بينهما بجلوس لئلا يتعب الخطيب ويمل السامع. And the Shaykh says, so for this reason in this hadith, in this narration, جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه عنهما informing us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to deliver two sermons, not just one on يوم الجمعة, two sermons while he's standing. Why standing? Is it because this is أشد في وعظه. Because a person who's standing, that make an impact on the people more than the one who's sitting. Because the one who's standing, the people they pay attention more to him than the one who's sitting on that day. And also the voice carries, like Allah said, and the voice carries if a person is standing higher. Unlike the one who's on the low, the voice doesn't carry in the same way. And he used to divide between them and used to sit between the two. And he mentioned the reason, two reasons why. So that the one who's giving the sermon doesn't get tired, like that's a break for him. And the one who's listening, don't get bored. Don't get bored. Fawaid al-Hadith, Shaykh had brought three benefits. The first one, Mashru'iyat Khutbatayn Salat al-Jum'ah. That is legislated to have two sermons on Yawm al-Jum'ah. The first khutbah, and he sit, he stand up and deliver another one. Number two, Mashru'iyat Qawm al-Khatib Fihima Qa'iman. And also it is legislated for the Khatib, it is the person who delivers his two sermons, to stand up. Number three, Mashru'iyat al-Julus, also it is legislated for him to sit between the two. Tanbih. Now the Shaykh is going to draw our attention to something. قال اختلف نسخ العمدة في هذا الحديث. He said the copies that deal with عمدة الأحكام, they have a slight difference as related to this hadith. ففي بعضها عن جابر وهو ابن سمرة وفي بعضها عن عبد الله بن عمر. He says, so in some copies, in some points, you find this hadith on the authority of Jabir ibn Samurah. In another point, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar. وَقَدْ رَوَى الْبُخَارِ قَيْلٌ هَذَا اللَّهُ عَنْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرِ. And Bukhari has narrated a similar, a close narration as related to the wording from the way of the Umar. قَالَ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَخْطُبُ خُطْبَتَيْنِ يَقْعُدُ بَيْنَهُمَا. In that narration, he said that the Prophet ﷺ used to deliver two sermons, and he used to sit between them. وَرَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ بِنَحْوِهِ عَنْ جَابِرِ بْنِ سَمُرَةَ. Likewise, the Muslim narrated a similar narration, but from Jabir ibn Samurah رضي الله عنه, who said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو كان للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبتان يجلس بينهما. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to have two sermons, used to deliver two sermons, and he used to sit between the two. The Shaykh said, كأن المؤلف رحمه الله اعتبر المعنى وإن اختلف الله والراويان والله أعلم. He said, perhaps that the مؤلف of عمدة الأحكام, الحافظ العالم أبو محمد عبد الغني ابن عبد الواحد المقدسي, he said, perhaps he was concerned more with the meaning of the narration, even if the wordings may differ, and even if the narrators may differ. Allahu A'lam, subhanAllah knows best. And by this we come to an end of this class, and we will continue next week, inshallah ta'ala, the rest of the four narrations, which are the narrations of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu and Salama, the three narrations of Abu Huraira, 5, 6, and 8, and the narration of Salama and Aqwa. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
This audio file has been recorded and distributed by SalafiTapes.com. For more information, please contact us at info@SalafiTapes.com or visit us on our website www.SalafiTapes.com.